Okay, I know that you could do this for a long time, but why don't we find our seats? And today has just been different, and so we'll just keep that theme going. That's what I like about The Chosen, get used to different. And so I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 7, and we're gonna end up there. I'm only reading half a verse out of 1 Kings, and so you don't necessarily need to go there unless you would like to, but today's message is called, as it has been said already, The Road of Return for a Surrendered Heart. For some of you, you're new here today, either haven't been here for a while, or maybe you're new, we have been walking with Elijah, a prophet from the Old Testament, and he was called by God to bring a famine. And so if you need a Bible, raise your hand and Josiah will bring you one. But and if you, yes, raise your hand. So Elijah was called and he proclaimed a famine. Famine went on for 3.5 years. Many people in Israel died. It was a horrific time for them. And then he came back and proclaimed to the king that there was going to basically be a showdown between those who said they were God, which is Baal, and God himself. And so the call was, you know, don't be caught between two opinions. Either God is God or Baal is God. And so God himself on Mount Carmel showed himself for who he really is. The prophets of Baal were killed, and then the storm came, rain came finally, and Jezebel threatened Elijah's life, and out of fear, Elijah ran. And so where our story brings us today is that he had been running for 40 days. He had run almost 400 miles to the mountain of God. He had met God there. God came and said, "What are you doing here?" You know, that is what sin does in our life. It brings us places that we shouldn't be, right? And so what are you doing here? And so, like the rest of us, we complain. We say, just like Elijah said, you know, Elijah said this in verse 14. He says, "I've been very zealous for the Lord Almighty. The Israelites have rejected the covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword, and I am the only one left. Now they're trying to kill me." And so we complain. We find ways of saying, the reason why I'm here is because I'm the only one. Nobody cares anymore. Nobody cares about anything. And I'm the only one here. And so God says these words in verse 15. He says, "Go back the way you came." When I read those words some years ago, I thought, that's what repentance is. You know, repentance isn't just, okay, I did something wrong. I put my hand up. I was the one who does it. That is confession. But repentance is actually leading us back down the road that we came, actually where we ran from. And it is bringing us back down the road that we came. The second book of Peter, the first chapter, the 5th through the 9th verse, talks about the fact that we should make every effort to add to our faith goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, and mutual affection and love. Peter says, "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." If you remember from last week, it's the knowledge of God. It's knowing who God is that actually leads our life. If you don't know who God is, you're going to continue to run down the road away from him. But just like here, and honestly, you know, if we had honesty in church, Running always produces ineffectiveness and unproductiveness in our life. And just like Mitchell and Carrie sang today about Samson's life, Samson running from God's will from his life, he became unproductive and ineffective until he put his hands between two pillars and said, "Use me once more." You know, and I think, and I know, in fact, I know, I don't even have to think, somebody here today has come here because God is saying to you, you've been running for a long time, long time. You feel the unproductiveness. You feel the ineffectiveness in your life, and that needs to change. But it's in the knowledge of God. It's in knowing who Jesus Christ is, what he's done on that cross, and coming back to that. The growing reality and presence of God is the awakening of the heart to truth. And it's that truth that drives us to love God and love each other more deeply. Verse 9 of that of 1 Peter says this: because they've gone off the gospel road of growth in God, they are nearsighted and blind and forgotten. They have been cleansed from their past sins. It's the cleansing of your sins. It's that you're forgiven. See, it's your sins that keep you right where you're at. But when you realize you've been cleansed, not because of what you've done, or even that you have done anything well, but that he has done it well, that Jesus Christ did it well on that cross, that is the reason why your life begins to change and you begin to turn going back down the road. In 2004, a group by the name of Rascal Flatts recorded a song written originally by the Nitty Gritty Band in 1994 called "God Bless the Broken Road." It says, "I set out on a narrow way many years ago, hoping to find true love along the broken road. But I got lost a time or two, wiped my brow and kept pushing through. I couldn't see how every sign pointed straight to you. Every long-lost dream led me to where you are. Others who broke my heart were like northern stars, pointing me on my way to your loving arms. This much I know is true, that God blessed the broken road that led me straight to you." You know, there are two roads to follow. There are two roads. One is a road that leads away from God. It's full of brokenness. It's full of heartache. There's another road that leads right to God. Still has brokenness, but it has hope, and it has peace. You've often heard me say poverty has nothing to do with finances, but with broken relationships. A person decides to leave their Creator, and that leads to breaking all kinds of forms of other relationships, relationships of authority like parents and bosses and teachers and others that remind them of God. They end up alone, broken, broke, and living in a cardboard box. It's a road that leads away from God, but God led Elijah toward him on the road he was running. Today, you're being led on a road to God, even in the midst of the brokenness. And repentance is the road of return. Even like Elijah ran and God said, "Go back the way you came." I think this is a great term for repentance. There's some of us in this room that have had brokenness, but you've never gone back down the road of redemption. You've never gone back down that road and begin to repair those broken relationships. The things that have happened in your life that led you away from God are those things that that God now wants you to turn around. The things that caused fear in your life are now he wants you to turn around and to face your fear and to walk back into it. You see, what happened to Elijah was that he had lost his first love. When a person values his life over God, it causes him to kick God off the throne of his life and put his own self-interests on the throne. If you remember what Romans 12 tells us, it says there are three things that overcomes the evil one. First is the blood of the Lamb. Without being saved, you have no road to travel. That's true. The second is the word of your testimony. As Mitchell and Carrie have given us this morning through song and their conversation, it is that testimony that God gives us, that he is there and that he loves us. But the third is this, that they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. The number one reason why people run down the road that God never called them to run is because of the fear of death. It is that thing that caused you to feel like you were looking death in the face and saying, I can't handle this. I can't go this way. And so you turn around and you go another way. But today God is telling you, turn around and go back the way you came. Before I talk about repentance, I want you to know that the ramifications of turning around and going back the way you came. Repentance is a military term. It's about face. And so in the military, they would take their foot, turn it around, and they would go this way. That's what repentance is. It's turning around and going the different direction. But you have to understand what it takes to turn around. First of all, it takes humility. Oswald Chambers says, repentance causes a sense of inexpressible unworthiness. You get that? You felt unworthy? Now, this may seem negative to you, but you have to understand that humility is not don't look at me. Humility is look at Jesus. Humility is the fact of that your life has found someone more worthy than you. That you have found someone that has given everything so that you could live life and is more worthy than you. What that does is it takes your eyes off of you and it puts on the one you should be on, and that's Jesus Christ. And so it takes humility to walk in the road of repentance. It also takes forgiveness. You come to understand your great need of forgiveness and that your decisions, your life was leading in a direction that was away from God, away from his call in your life, and you discover that you need the greatest attribute of God, and that is the atonement of Jesus Christ. You need someone to take your place, to take your sins, to take everything that you thought was your strength and to lay it on himself and to take it into himself so that now you could live a completely new and different life. I don't think there's any greater truth than Jesus Christ became our substitute on the cross. And I think that is what you need, because it takes away. So one of the issues that we have is that even as Christians, we still try to do it ourselves. We still try to live this Christian life. Oh, I'm just going to be a better person. No, that's not the point. The point is that Jesus Christ took your life on his. You died in Christ, was buried with him, all your actions, all your strength, everything. And in his resurrection, you come up brand new, as a different creation. And it changes your life completely. And how do I know that's happened? Because of the third thing. Okay, humility, surrender. Forgiveness, and then surrender. The knowledge that I've been running because I've been responding and living for myself. Today, my life is God's to do with as he pleases. This is the first thing. It means you have agreed with God that you're wrong in running the direction you have gone. In humility and in forgiveness and in surrender, you give everything to him. Have you done that? I don't care if you've gone to church all your life. Have you done that? Because if you have not, you don't get it. You're not on the road of repentance. The second thing is, so the first is you agree with God. The second is, it means you're going to have to look fear in the face. In respect to the brokenness of your life, what is the greatest thing that you fear? What has been holding you back from the road back to where you came from? What is it? Because that's the thing that God is asking you to look into. You know, we celebrate when we see those pictures from 9/11 of the guys that, as people were running out of the building, they were running into it to try to save lives. We celebrate that. But that's exactly what God wants us to do. He wants us to run back into that fire. He wants to run back into that thing that we've been running from in our life for years. Whether it's family brokenness, whether it's dealing with abuse from the past, as Carrie shared with us this morning, and just as God gave her a memory and talked to a, was that a niece? Yeah. It's not easy. Be a lot easier. Didn't you tell us that you wanted to take a road trip? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're like preaching my message up there, girl. That's exactly what we want to do. We want to take a road trip and leave because we don't want to face the pain. We don't want to face the difficulty. We don't want to open our hearts up. We don't want to open our hearts up to each other, open our hearts up to God, and allow that Him to be our overcomer. Somebody once told me, he says, I really don't understand what it means to have courage in faith. I'm telling you, people of God, if you walk in faith, it's going to take courage. Amen. You know? I just think sometimes, in fact, I sent Joshua 1:9 to somebody this week because I knew they were facing it. And, it, you know, the Lord is saying to Joshua and to the Israelites, be strong and courageous. One reason, because I'm with you. Because you can be strong and courageous because I'm with you. You're going through a relationship situation. Can you walk straight in it and face it? Yes, you can, because God is with you. Can you walk back into the pain of your past? Yes, why? Because God is with you. Can you face it? Yes, you can, because God is with you. And so you have to agree with God in humility, forgiveness, and surrender. Let Him walk with you. You need to look fear back in the face and walk in it. And third, you begin the journey of reconciliation with those you've hurt and who have hurt you. It starts with God the Father who created you. The first step, people of God, is to face God. The first step is to get on your knees and say, I have sinned against you and you alone. Then it goes to family members, to friends, old authority figures that you left without telling you quit. I don't know if you remember the story. I cannot wait till this person reveals this story to us, but this person ran. He quit a job and ran for about 4 years, struggled with an addiction. And I can remember talking to him and saying, you know, what if you went back to that old boss and faced your fears? Oh, he would never talk to me. I couldn't imagine. I mean, I just basically walked out of him. I said, yeah, but you were made to do that job. I know, but I just can't do it. And within the last 6 months, this man did and went to his boss. He asked for forgiveness, and guess what? Not only did his boss give his old job back, but he gave him a healthy raise. Woo-hoo! You know, people, that's not always going to happen that way. But you know what? If you're willing to walk into the face of your fear, if you're willing to walk the road of reconciliation, God will honor that. He will honor that. And it's going to be tough, and it's going to be tough, but you can do it. You see, when we talk about repentance, you have to understand that it's supernatural. We are not naturally drawn to repent. We're naturally drawn to protect. We're naturally drawn to say it's everybody else's fault. You don't understand. I'm where I'm at today because of so-and-so and so-and-so. We're naturally drawn to that. 2 Timothy tells us in the second chapter, the 25th verse, that it's actually God gifts repentance. It's supernatural. He says, opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of truth. It's always interesting to me that it's always going back to knowing God, knowing God, knowing God. Do you get the theme? It's about knowing God. It's about knowing God. You know, we've had testimonies in the past that, yeah, you know, I knew things about God, but I really didn't know God. Amen. True repentance will start with conviction. Now, this is interesting. Many people struggle with understanding what conviction is. Some of you are being convicted right now, and some may feel that it's condemnation. Like, you're focusing just on me. I've had people get angry at me in services because, well, you focused on me. I didn't. The Spirit did, but I did not. And so, the interesting thing about conviction versus condemnation is they both start from the same place, but they end up completely different. Well, that's not true. The feelings can start from the same place, but they don't start from the same place. They both feel like I'm going to be ruined. They both start there, but conviction starts with truth. Condemnation starts with destruction. Condemnation comes from the fact I want to destroy you. Your life is worthless. You're meaningless. It's just the way your life is. Conviction starts with, I love you. I want to tell you the truth. I think it was Paul that said in Ephesians, he says, "Now that I now become your enemy because I have told you the truth?" And so if you're being convicted, it is because God wants your life to be built and to be and to become stronger. And so, as I had said to you before, 2 Corinthians 7:10 is the verse that I want to focus on today. And so go with me. 2 Corinthians 7, 7th chapter, starting with the 10th verse. It says these words: "Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leads no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death." Godly sorrow is the fact that I agree, Lord, with what you see in me. Worldly sorrow is I wish I wouldn't have gotten caught. I'm more concerned about making sure the collateral damage is not bad. And so I just work to kind of protect. Godly sorrow says, I don't care what happens out here. I just want to do what God wants me to do. And so as we think about that, we think about the fact that this is not natural. And so when you start to repent, I've had the privilege and honor of recently walking with some people through repentance, and it's an amazing journey. And 100% of the time, I will hear these words after they start walking this path: I can't believe for so many years I have been fighting this. There's so much freedom right now. It's unbelievable. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. There is so much freedom. So let's walk. Let's walk this. And so as we look at this verse, I want you to see verse 11. It says, "See what godly sorrow has produced in you, what earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, and what readiness to see justice done. At every point, you have proved yourself to be innocent in this matter." This is the greatest verse in Scripture on repentance. Let's just go by each one. First of all, earnestness. Earnestness is the ability, I know I have done wrong, and I have to do something about it. I have to do something about it. There's an earnestness inside your heart. There is a desire to change. It's godly. It's from His Spirit. If you are sitting in this room and you're still okay with you walking down a path that you know is wrong, and you're going down a road that's wrong, you're missing it. You're missing it, because God in His Spirit will raise up within you a desire. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, righteousness, and the coming judgment. Our hearts just go, wait a minute. This is not right. I'm going down the wrong road. The second word is eagerness. It's initiative. I must take the first step to walk the road of reconciliation. It's the phone call. It's the going up to the person and saying, can we sit down and talk? It's a time in my life in 1990 in which I called my parents and said, do you have time to talk? Because I need to sit down with you and talk with you. That was hard, and I was shaking like a leaf on a tree. But I had to do it. It changed my relationship with my parents. It was incredible. So it's eagerness. Third, it's the word indignation. It's anger. It angers me more that I could run that road than the anger I feel because it's become exposed. Yeah. I have become more angry about what sin has done in my heart than that other people are getting to know what I've done. So many people keep themselves hidden. So many people stay under that veneer of trying to look like a good person. And God is saying, that's not what I want for you. I want you to be wholly open to me and wholly open to each other. And open your heart up. And it's going to take an anger of you saying, you know what? It's time. It is time for change. The third word is alarm. You know, there's no more annoying sound than the 5:30 alarm that goes off when you're sleeping. You know, you're just like, man, I want to throw that thing across the room. 2:30, yes, 2:30 in the morning. And so it is with the power of repentance. There's an alarm going off that annoys you and saying, I am sick and tired of the direction I've been going. I'm waking up to a whole new place. I love Hebrews 13. It says, wake up, dear ones, for your salvation is nearer to you than it was before. Put on the armor of light. Take off the armor of darkness. Are you alarmed today? Are you living alarmed? And are you ready to walk the road back? The next one is longing, the fourth one. This is perseverance to walk through the experience and see it to the completion. There is no, well, I tried to contact that person and nothing happened, so I guess I'm just going to give up. It's, I am going to persevere through this, and this has got to be done. I'm not going to find, I'm not going to rest until this is done. The next one is concern. I love that. Your thoughts now turn away from your self-centeredness, and you're more concerned about the people that have been hurt than about you. You turn your eyes off of you and turn it on to the others. The road of reconciliation. I know you're shaking your head. I know exactly where we're going with that. God is good, and he wants to bring reconciliation. And then finally, the readiness to see justice done. You know, we've been hearing a lot of noise about justice in our media, but I am telling you there is no true justice without the conviction of sin and the knowledge of God. God himself is just and love. No one truly exercised true justice without the move of God. Psalm 9:16 says, the Lord is known by his acts of justice. Psalm 11:7 says, for the Lord is righteous, he loves justice, and upright will see his face. And then this verse in 2 Corinthians ends with these words, proving yourself innocent in this matter means that God's supernatural repentance restores us to innocence. Restores us to innocence. Now, why is this important for us to hear today? First, because we live in a society where there are many people running in fear today. They've been running down roads for a long time, and the families are separated, their friends are separated, they have run away from authorities. We live in a divided country that is no longer united, all because people are not running down the road of repentance. They're running down the road of fear. And so it's time for someone to take leadership. I truly believe this, that leadership has nothing to do with your abilities to lead. It has everything to do with your willingness to surrender to God and to take the hard road back to truth and to honesty and to repentance. Within your family, within your life, within anything else. We need leaders again in this country that are willing to walk the true road in life. As I end our time together, I just think about the word, the Old Testament word, return. Return is the Old Testament word for repentance. And I want you to just listen to these words written by the Old Testament prophets. Isaiah 44 says, I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Jeremiah 3:22, return, faithless people, I will cure you of backsliding. Zechariah 1:3, this is what the Lord Almighty says, return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. And Hosea 6:1, which I pray is every one of our hearts, come, let us return to the Lord. People of God, there's a broken road. It's the road of repentance. It's returning from where you were, turning around and going back down that road. We need leaders who are willing to walk that road, who are willing to hear God say, what are you doing here? Turn around and go back the way you came. You'll do it if in humility you have found somebody that's more worthy than you. You'll do it because forgiveness is the foundation of everything. Your sins have been completely covered. You know it. You're a new person in Jesus Christ, and you can walk that road, and you will do it because no longer your life is yours. It's His completely. He can do what He wants with you and your life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Stand with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, someone in this room needed to hear you say to them personally, what are you doing here? You've been running in fear, and I'm meeting you here. And He didn't meet us when the wind ripped the rocks off of the mountain. You don't meet us in the earthquake, and you don't meet us in the fire. You meet us in the still small voice that says, return the way that you came. Father in heaven, somebody needed to hear that today. And I pray that, Father, that you work on all of our hearts, that we'll be a people that will not run in fear, but, Father, will return on the road back into the purpose that you have for each one of us. I pray that you will continue to guide our hearts, for, Father, there are people in this world that are begging to see people who are returning back into the purpose that God had them for. Lord, been running for years now. It's time to return. We pray that you'll just continue to work in our lives. Thank you for this word that's true. Bless us along the road. And next week, as we come to find out that you're the one that is the completeness after our surrender, you've got it. You've got it covered. Father, may we trust you with that, that in you we are complete, and you got it in our lives. Lord, I know that there are many of us in this room that have had people that have run away in fear, that we've got children that have run away. We've got friends that are on the road of running. We've got, Lord, we see this every day. I pray that, Father, that we truly will be the gospel light, as Kyle said to us today, and as Aaron said to us today. Somebody needs to hear it. How will they hear unless someone is sent? Let that be me. We love you and we trust you. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen.